This program was first broadcast on Arrow FM, Wairarapa's only community access media station, and shared on Access Media with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Sunday morning, man, she woke up fighting mad.
And a very good morning.
Very good morning to you.
That's better. Good morning to you. Welcome to the Roundup. It is just gone 8 o'clock. Luke Combs for an intro song. How about that? Wednesday, the 1st of May. We're in May already, halfway through the year. Is it halfway? Is it month 5 or month 6? I think it's only month 5. So almost halfway through the year. Welcome back to the studio. Coming up today, we look into the Nationals cabinet reshuffle. Not the whole lot of it, but amid the demotion of Melissa Lee and Penny Simmons. The saga with both TVNZ and News Hub, so a bit of an update for those who may have missed out on what's actually going on. A quick talk on EV legislation, and phones are now banned in school. We look a little bit deeper into that, into why they're banned in school, and what the consequences could be around that. It's always great to be back in the studio, straight into the weather, even though the afternoon sun has a slight bit of heat in it. You must admit, it's been quite cold in the mornings. With summer still trying to die off, we're in the autumn fix. Have you missed the frosty mornings? Ice on the car window, a trail of coldness coming from your mouth? It's a hard one to come by. With a 30-degree heat now over, things are about to take a sour turn. The minuses. This is also when everyone starts to get sick. No, your arm isn't going to fall off. Wrap up and keep warm. Weather, that's by the fire, the heater, or even a campfire. The pre-winter is here. With a lot of big festivals now over at the likes of drag racing, Wings Over Wairarapa and the Balloon Festival, what's there to do now? That I can't tell you because I don't know. There's probably a garden show coming up, a lot of other events. Move inside a hall during this time of the year. Wouldn't surprise me if something in Martinborough is happening soon, as Marty always has an event going on. The Thursday night food trucks at the Town Hall is always something to look forward to. Here's a quick tip. The local crepe makers are half the price than what you pay for over the hill. So if you like crepes, support local business and buy local. $14 in the Hut, $7 in Masterton. Now that's a bargain. And just add better customer service. Over the past months, I've managed to do a lot of things. Went to Mary Mary for some drag racing, but more importantly, binge watching a lot of movies and series, cooking a lot of home meals, which were a lot nicer and filling rather than having takeaways. I too have been cold, so the hoodies have come out and I've missed wearing one. A lot better to wear one now. There's a reason to wear one. In the last month, we had Anzac Day and Day to Remember and thank those who sacrificed their life and time to this country. It's a day where families get up early and go down to their local dawn service. We shall remember them. In political world, a surprise cabinet reshuffle saw Melissa Lee demoted to outside cabinet. More on the reshuffle later on. Not too controversial from Winston Peters. So, nothing, I beg your pardon. A few concerts have happened, Niall Horan to name one. The former One Direction member played at Auckland on a one-off. On concerts, a well-noted country star, Chris Stapleton, is coming to New Zealand next year. Did anybody grab tickets? He has an amazing voice. He sings some amazing songs, and he really represents the country music genre quite well. So he is next year, I believe in a few months' time. Cold Chisel lead singer Jimmy Barnes is performing in NZ for what I reckon will be his last tour to NZ. Because obviously he just recently had open heart surgery, so he probably doesn't want to be performing too much longer. What is the best concert you've gone to and why? Now, I'm not really a party person, I'm not really a concert person, so I haven't gone, but Jimmy Barnes, I wouldn't mind going to Jimmy Barnes. And Chris Stapleton, he'd be quite good to go to. Just a very quick recap, because a lot of people missed this. I was trying to strike up a conversation about the Wilding attack that happened at the DHB about a month ago, 2 months ago now probably, and not many knew, so if you didn't know, here we go. Wairarapa News. Wairarapa Hospital did not have security guards on hand when a man attacked a visitor in the emergency department with a machete just before midnight on a Saturday. Not this Saturday, on a Saturday. A 62-year-old man was taken into custody at the scene and is now facing a charge of wounding with intent to cause grievous bodily harm. Police said in the statement that the victim and the offender were known to each other and the victim received moderate injuries. In the statement, they said the weapon, which they confirmed was a machete, had been recovered. Association of Salaried Medical Specialists Executive Director Sarah Dalton told Midday Report she was reasonably certain there was no security staff present in the ED at the time. The man was disarmed by a doctor, attendants, and the patient herself. He said there were a number of people in the ED and it must have been really frightening and really stressful for everyone. She said it was not the standard in hospital in small hospitals to have the round-the-clock security in place in the ED. They may have one or more security staff on site, but they may be far, far away from the emergency department, she said. My quick opinion. In terms of safety, where does this leave the general public? More security guards doesn't typically mean more safety. Do we need to take it to the next step with more intensive training for security and maybe armed with a taser or something? Well, obviously that's never going to happen, but it's my opinion. Or does that mean more problems? We will have to find out on the whole Jimmy Barnes talk. I will not play Chris Stapleton today, but maybe in a couple of months' time. Our first song for this morning, probably one of the greatest rock songs, Australian rock songs. I mean, if not including AC/DC, it's Jimmy Barnes' Working Class Man. 8:05.
Working hard to make a living, bringing shelter from the rain. My father's son left to carry on blue denim in his veins. Working class man.
Oh,
And a very good morning to you. Welcome to Roundup. It is 8:09. I'm Joe DeCifre, just joining us now. Viewing the US election, to the US, one Republican standing, Donald Trump, another high flyer standing as an independent, is Robert F. Kennedy Jr. That's right, another Kennedy. But it's come clear to me it'll become an election rematch of Trump versus Biden. The problem with that is you have one candidate who wouldn't know what day it is, and the other one tries to make it sound like he's a good guy. And to be fair to him, the media did trash him while he was in office and never documented the good he did do. However, he's an interesting person. He's facing fines in just about every state. He's going around the country, going to courtroom. Are two older people running for office? It sounds like an ageist comment, but it's the fact. Time for new blood over there. I think it's just to be part of the state as a governor, you have to be at least 60 plus to be elected, which is just rubbish. Well, obviously that's not the case, it's all true, but I think that is the case, which is rubbish, as those that are elected bring no real change to office, instead only get worse. I think for a country as big as the US, with the amount of power, should see young blood getting involved in making a stand, being elected. Otherwise, that country will be forever doomed. Because all it is, right, I'd say 70% of the Senate, their governors or state governors, are probably 60 plus. There's very few young people in there, so it's not the new way. It's, you know, it's like passing down the book. Here you go. So this is how we've always done it. And that's why there's no change in the US, is because everyone just follows that one guideline. The cabinet reshuffle from the national government. Melissa Lee is out of cabinet and stripped of the media and communications portfolio in a surprise reshuffle by Prime Minister Christopher Luxon. Luxon announced the other morning, that Paul Goldsmith would take on the media and communications portfolio. The reshuffle has also seen Penny Simmons dropped as Disability Issues Minister, which Louise Upston will pick up. It comes after Lee struggled to front on issues confronting the media sector, including the collapse of News Hub and the cuts at TVNZ. Melissa Lee is a good, hard-working minister, Luxon said, claiming Lee was doing a phenomenal job in her other portfolios, such as Minister for Ethnic Communities. However, he refrained from answering whether he thought Lee had done a good job in the media portfolio. This is really about the right people being on the right assignment at the right time, Luxon said. Responding to the reshuffle that afternoon, Labour leader Chris Hipkins said today's sacking showed the wheels are already falling off. They were never up to the task they were given. I think it was striking they were given those portfolios in the first place, Hipkins said. He said Simmons had made a hash of a portfolio, and new Disability Issues Minister Upson should apologise immediately to the disability community for Simmons' performance in response to Lee's sacking. Hipkins said, the crisis unfolding in the New Zealand media has been obvious to everyone for some time now. Melissa Lee during a crisis for the media and therefore a crisis for our democratic institutions has been absolutely baffling, he said. Carrying on that, on my quick opinion, is Hipkins onto something with the phrase the wheels are falling off already, or is it too early to tell? Now, let's be clear, there's been a few heated moments with this government already. Waitangi was one of them, with Seymour and Peters getting a heap of backlash at Waitangi. Before we all find out about the saga of TVNZ and News Hub, I was one that thought Melissa Lee was quite bright. I now take that back. Lee's demotion was announced by Luxon as part of a surprise reshuffle last week. Lee lost the media portfolio after suffering criticism for her reaction to News Hub's shock closure, most notably in the process of the paper she intended to take the cabinet, Ammon reports New Zealand First had delayed it. She claimed that perhaps she was a little slow, which I think is correct on that. Disability Issues Minister Penny Simmons also lost her portfolio after she and the Ministry for Disabled People were criticised by the disabled community for how her new limitations being placed on financial entitlements available to carers were announced. Simmons still holds the Territory Education and Environment portfolios. Who's next to go? We're all wondering. I think that Luxon needs to keep control of his team, but more importantly, needs to keep control of Winston Peters. Now, Winston is like a wild card. He's included, but not for the right reasons. Would I be right in saying that? The plane has taken off, and a hit, and a bit of the turbulence, it's had a bit of turbulence now. How will Captain Luxon do from here? I phrase that as he was the CEO of Air New Zealand, which he likes to tell everybody. Then you got the poll that came out the other night to show the support of the government. So the coalition parties have lost their support in the latest political poll, with the left bloc able to form a government in New Zealand First out of parliament. National Act and New Zealand First have collectively dropped 5 percentage points, according to yesterday night's one night one New Zealand poll. It has National at 36%, down 2 points from the last poll in February. ACT was on 7%, down 1 point. And New Zealand First was on 4%, down 2, meaning it would be out of Parliament with an electric seat, without an electric seat. Labour and the Green Party have jumped. Labour's hit 30%, up 2 points. The Green also increased by 2 points to 14%. Te Pāti Māori was at 4%, the same as the last poll. Based on these numbers, National and ACT could only have 57 seats without New Zealand First. A Labour and the Greens and Te Pāti Māori would have 64. Enough to form a government. 8% of respondents didn't know or refuse to say which party they support sat with. Already. So we're only roughly 6 months into government with these parties, and New Zealanders seem to have already gone off them. Mind you, it wasn't a clean sweep by the national government, was it? So in my quick opinion, off those numbers, it seems that Kiwis have lost their trust in the coalition government, which doesn't surprise me. When you have three leaders trying to be Prime Minister at once and a slightly inexperienced cabinet. Business news. Well, it's not really business news. It's more entertainment news, but it's a better business, so close enough. Auckland's Great South Road was brought to a standstill. People queued for hours, some camping overnight to taste New Zealand's newest fast food restaurants. Is it Popeyes? Correct me if I'm wrong. One man waited for 19 hours to be first in line, which I did actually see a video, so that is true. He fully slept outside. The branch of the American Fried Chicken chain opened in Auckland suburb of Takanini Monday morning, I believe. With owners estimating thousands of people visited the restaurant and thousands of transactions were made, General Manager James McLaughlin said that the traffic was down to State Highway 1 and lanes had to be blocked off on the Great South Road. We had queues right down the side of the restaurants for hundreds of metres, he said. We had to shut the drive-through lane at 10:30pm and it took the staff until 12:30am to clear the lane. Some staff only left the store at 4am. He said people came from far away as Hastings and Whangarei. The restaurant also broke the record for the first day sales for Popeye's chicken globally. There you go. Air New Zealand, if you want to fly them domestically, let's talk a little bit about that. Air New Zealand had increased its domestic fares. Acting General Manager Domestic Jeremy O'Brien said, like many Kiwis and businesses, Air New Zealand has faced increasing costs over the couple of years. As we've previously signalled, our cost base has risen by more than 30%, and to date, we've absorbed as much of this as we can. However, to reflect the high cost of providing air services, we need to continue to review our pricing. The rate of the increase, which came into effect in April 23rd, has not been disclosed. Stats NZ data from March show domestic air fares went up 7.4% in February compared to January 2024, and increased in 7.7% from February 2023. In March, the airline said its February domestic fares went up 2% year on year, which was below inflation and the increase in operating costs. That's why we're taking steps to ensure our fares cover the cost of travel so we can continue to fly Kiwis across the country. The airline has also expressed concern of Auckland Airport's redevelopment, saying it would make the flying unaffordable. A claim Auckland Airport disputes. A spokesman for the airport said earlier this year, Air New Zealand has a strong commercial incentives to oppose airport investment and then raise its domestic prices by 55% or $70 a fare post-pandemic. This has a significant impact on airfares, particularly in the regions. Regional airfares grew 16% between 2022 and 2023 alone. Today, airfares across the domestic market remain 32% higher on average compared to pre-pandemic, the spokesperson said. Just as well, I'm not flying domestic with Air New Zealand. A little bit later on, I will disclose of where I'm going. On to EVs. The legislation requiring light electric vehicles, EVs and plug-in hybrids to pay RUCs has passed its third reading in Parliament, or had passed, ahead of the now-started scheme. The charges for plug-in hybrids will be cheaper than initially planned after the government decided to accept an amendment proposed by the opposition. The changes mean EV owners will pay $76 per 1,000 kilometres driven, the same as a diesel vehicle, and plug-in hybrid owners pay $38, down from the $42 that had been proposed on a prepaid basis. an admin fee of $13.71 or $12.44 if bought online, also applies to those buying RUC licenses. Making EV and plug-in hybrid owners contribute to the RUCs, which contribute to the funding of roads through National Land Transport Fund, is a move multiple governments have committed to, having set the target of EVs accounting for 2% of light vehicles on the road. They had been exempt from the scheme since 2009. Diesel vehicle owners also pay RUC charges, while petrol owners pay towards the NLTF through petrol excesses taxes. A National Transport Minister, Simeon Brown, has spoken about making all the vehicle owners pay RUCs instead of petrol tax, and said such a move was committed in the National ACT Coalition Agreement. So the electric cars no longer get to ride on the road for free. Here's our second song for the morning. ZZ Top, Give Me All Your Lovin'. You can't go wrong with ZZ Top. Here we go, 8:20. Welcome back in the roundup. I'm Joe Desi. If you're just joining me now, a quick talk on the media, right? So the 6 p.m. TV3 has been saved. But it will have a totally new look and will be provided by rival media company Stuff. I never knew Stuff would put their hand up, but here we go. Once News Hub closes in early July, Warner Bros. Discovery said it signed a deal with Stuff yesterday to produce and provide us with a 6pm bulletin. A WBT staff were told by New Zealand boss Glenn Kine the other day. So Stuff will provide now a long weekday bulletin and a 30-minute bulletin on Saturdays and Sundays. The deal starts from Saturday, July the 6th. The day after News Hub shuts for good with the loss of up to 300 jobs. The News Hub website, which generates a unique audience of more than 1 million people each month, would transfer to Stuff. Stuff will reportedly use the existing Flower Street studio in Auckland for the bulletin initially before setting up its own facilities. So that's TV3. Apparently that News Talk ZB, not News Talk ZB, NZ Herald, or NZME, the owner of New Zealand Herald News Talk ZB, also bid for the bulletin slot, but there's also been talks that Ryan Bridge from TV3 could be in the lineup for the early edition role on the 5 to 6am slot News Talk ZB before Hoskins. So there we go. Then the part two, obviously TVNZ's long-form current affairs show Sunday has been canned, which is extremely sad. The midday and tonight news bulletins at the state-owned broadcaster were also being axed. The television broadcast of a long-running consumer affairs show, Fair Go, is ending. But there is a proposal for the brand to live on with a new team proposed within the news and current affairs division. This will consist of four new roles and have a focus on long-term consumer and concurrent affairs for digital platforms. So Fair Go could be staying but moving to more of a digital platform area. As much as people maybe dislike the news and dislike the journalists or broadcasters, they are human and you've got to feel bad for them. I mean, it's terrible what's happened. It's absolutely terrible. Democracy, it's a very interesting. I never thought I'd wake up this, and when was it, February or March, whenever it was, I was actually in the hut when it said that News Hub was being axed, and I thought, oh, that's not very good. It's terrible. And the question that you're left with now is, where to next? Where does everybody go? I think a lot of people will go into podcasting. Maybe a lot of people will move into radio. They might go, you know, to RNZ, News Talk ZB, The Hits, all the other, you know, these big brands out there. Or maybe they might just choose a whole new career altogether. All the best to everybody affected. Mike McRoberts is retiring from broadcasting, so we might not see him around much longer. So pretty sad there. And then the big names such as Midia McCumwell, Hayden Jones, Samantha Hayes, Paddy Gower, where will they end up? You've got to feel bad for Ryan Bridges, right? Because he left the AM show on TV3. And then he was going to start a new show at 7 o'clock, but he didn't even get the chance to start the new show because it got axed. So sad news for that. Phones in school, the second term began on Monday, and so the government's official ban on cell phones in the school. It was a policy National promised to deliver during the election if it was elected into government. Prime Minister Christopher Luxon celebrated the day, posting Happy No Phones in School Day. Well, he wouldn't have got many likes because all the students would have had their phones put away. No, they didn't. Basically, in summary, the whole reason why they're doing this is because education is failing and they're trying to direct it onto the students that are getting distracted on their phones. In all honesty, I think it's a rubbish idea. We're in the 21st century, for goodness sake. Of course students are going to be on their phones. I think it's silly that National brought this so-called solution in the first place. I can only assure you a student being on their phone is not going to fail them, but probably help them. That's right. A phone can be used as a tool, as a school laptop can be. But students don't always have access to a laptop that hasn't been updated since 1998. Now, the regulation could work, but I don't think it will. And let students go on their phone at lunch. I mean, it's just silly not allowing them to. I never thought that something like this would come into place in a place like New Zealand. But I think Erica Stanford and Christopher Luxon have got it all wrong. I believe the reasons students are failing is either one, fewer resources than other students, or two, don't have a personal laptop, or three, the teacher isn't helpful. Billie Eilish, the Grammy Award-winning pop star, has announced she's got a tour coming up in a studio album, Hit Me Hard and Soft, around the world, but her Kiwi fans are disappointed to see she has included any New Zealand dates on her tour. Now, Billie Eilish, Taylor Swift, Paul McCartney, what do they have with New Zealand? You know, some of the biggest pop stars and rock stars, Paul McCartney, of all time, and they just snobbed New Zealand. I couldn't believe that Paul McCartney didn't come to New Zealand. I thought that was a bit rude, actually. I would have loved to have seen Paul McCartney. But the boss has come many a time, so listen to him. It's Bruce Springsteen, Dancing in the Dark, 8:30.
I get up in the evening, and I ain't got nothing to say. I come home in the morning, I go to bed feeling the same way. I ain't nothing but tired, man, I'm just tired and bored with myself. Hey there, baby, I could use just a little help. You can't start a fire. Messages keep getting clearer. Radio's on and I'm moving around my place. I check my look in the mirror. Wanna change my clothes, my hair, my face, and I ain't getting nowhere. I'm just living in a dump like this. There's something happening somewhere. Baby, I just know it is. You can't start a fire. You can't start a fire without a spark. This guns were higher. Even if we're just dancing in the dark. There's a joke, here's some wine, it's on me. I shake this world off my shoulders. Come on, baby, the laugh's on me. Stay on the streets of this town, and they'll be carving you up all right. You say you gotta stay hungry. Hey, baby, I'm just a fast starting tonight. I'm dying for some action. I'm sick of sitting around here trying to write this book. I need a look.
That was Bruce Springsteen and Dancing in the Dark. Work, goodness me. You know when you've said to work, right, I can do Saturday night, and then you get a message saying, hey, do you want to go have dinner on Saturday night? I would have preferred to go on to dinner, but it looks like I have to go to work. Never mind. Entertainment. Welcome to entertainment. Let's start with the top 10 songs of all time, Rolling Stones. This was not by the Rolling Stones, the band, by the magazine. 10, Outkast, Hanya. 9, Fleetwood Mac, Dreams. 8, Missy Elliott, Get Your Freak On. 7, The Beatles, Strawberry Fields Forever. 6, Marvin Gaye, What's Going On. 5, Nirvana, Smells Like Teen Spirit. 4, Bob Dylan, Like a Rolling Stone. 3, Sam Cooke, Change Is Going to Come. 2, Public Enemy, Fight the Power. 1, Aretha Franklin, Respect. Now, my top 10 songs of all time, I never thought I'd say this, but I've got Bob Dylan at 10 with Hurricane. And the reason why I put Hurricane on there, not because Bob is a terrible singer, he can't sing for anything, but he's an extraordinary songwriter, and the way that Hurricane is written is very, very good. So if you haven't listened to that, it's about 9 minutes, but it's a very good song. 9, Dire Straits, Salt and Swing. 8, Bohemian Rhapsody, Queen. Now, Bohemian Rhapsody, probably one of the greatest songs of all time. I don't know how that wasn't on the Rolling Stones, but never mind. 7, The Eagles, Hotel California, another great song. 6, Led Zeppelin, Stairway to Heaven, I love that song. 5, The Rolling Stones, Paint It Black. 4, Bob Seger, Night Moves. Now, I'm not playing Night Moves next by Bob Seger, but I am playing Bob Seger next, so you listen out for that. 3, I've got Rocket Man by Elton John. 2, I got to put ABBA up there. You got to love a bit of ABBA. I was going to say Dancing Queen, but I actually prefer Mamma Mia. I like that song. And 1, Elvis Presley, all of his songs. I love all Elvis's songs. Elvis is my favourite artist. Fact of the month, in 2006, a Coca-Cola employee offered to sell Coca-Cola secrets to Pepsi. Pepsi responded by notifying Coca-Cola. The famous line in Titanic from Leonardo DiCaprio, "I'm the king of the world," was improvised. The original Star Wars premiered on just 32 screens across the US in 1977. There is an island called Just Enough Room where there's just enough room for a tree and a house. And at birth, a baby panda is smaller than a mouse. Who knew that? Quiz questions of the month. What is the capital of Australia? It is not Sydney, it's Canberra. Which planet is known as the Red Planet? It's Earth. No, it's not, it's Mars. Who discovered electricity? Benjamin Franklin. What language is spoken in Brazil? Portuguese. What is the highest grossing film of all time? Now, there's two here because they roughly, they put two movies down. So they've got Avengers Endgame or Avatar. Top 10 selling cars of February 2024. The Mitsubishi Eclipse Cross. I have seen plenty of those on the road, actually. The MG ZS. Tesla Model Y at 8. 7, you've got the Toyota Highlander. 6, Kia Sportage. 5, Mitsubishi ASX. 4, Mitsubishi Outlander. 3, Ford Everest. 2, Suzuki Swift. And 1, the Toyota RAV4. And the top-selling utes, I don't know why they put Toyota Hiace on there. I mean, that's clearly a van. 5, 4, Nissan Navara. 3, Mitsubishi Triton. 2, Toyota Hilux. And 1, Ford Ranger. Though I have seen plenty of Chevy Silverados on the road now. I've seen plenty of those on the road now. This day in history, so the 1st of May, King Richard Seddon becomes Premier. Rich and John Seddon becomes Premier following the death of John Ballance, immortalised as King Dick. Seddon was set to dominate the New Zealand political landscape for the next 13 years. He remains his country's longest-serving Premier or Prime Minister. Seddon was first elected in the Parliament in 1879 for Hikitika and later represented Westland in the House. He was notoriously long-winded and ridiculed as boorish. So if you go to the Beehive and the statue that's right outside the Beehive, that is indeed Richard John Seddon. Entertainment story: a tourist has been fined 12,500 Norwegian kroner, more than 1,900 New Zealand dollars, for approaching a walrus in the Norwegian town. So the authorities said the man went out into the ice and disturbed a walrus that was lying on the ice. So how sad was that? The walrus was disturbed, and he was fined almost $1,900 in New Zealand. New Zealand dollars. So here's a tip. If you're going to Norway, maybe not go buy a walrus, because you might lose all your spending money. Also, in the UK, a bird confuses police officers by mimicking siren sounds. Now, you may have heard that. It was not April Fool. The police came out and said it's not an April Fool jokes. This was 100% real. A police was literally sounding like a police car. So, if you got confused, not actually a police car, it was just a bird. So, you might be, oh, what's that? And it's just a bird. Dad jokes of the month. This is always the best part of the entertainment start, because I think I'm the funniest person on the earth. I told my doctor the other day that I'm addicted to Instagram. He looked confused and said, "Sorry, I'm not following you." I got fired from my job at the keyboard factory. They said I wasn't putting in enough shifts. Guess who I bumped into on the way to get my glasses fixed, everybody? I told my wife. Now, this is one of my favourite jokes. I told my wife I could make a car out of spaghetti. You should have seen her face when I drove past her. I'll see if that one clicks. Two guys walk into a bar, the third guy ducked. And then you got the weather and traffic update. I better just jump on my MacBook. The weather update for Masterton. Looks like we've got a high of 18, but a bit of rain coming in the afternoon. Possibly heavy. Westerly's picking up this evening. Now, I did say that I was going to play Bob Seger. And I'm not lying to you. I'm playing Bob Seger. Hollywood Night. It's just gone 3 minutes to nine.
Midwestern boy on his own. She looked at him with those soft eyes so innocent and blue. He knew right then he was too far from home. Oh. He was too far from home. She took his hand and she led him along that golden beach. They watched the waves tumble over the sand. They drove for miles and miles of those twisting, turning roads. Higher and higher and higher they climbed. And those Hollywood nights, in those Hollywood. We'll be right back.
quarter to nine. RJ to see you here. Round up. I'm going to finish up soon anyway. I just quickly wanted to talk about the roadworks. I mean, I'm always talking about the roadworks, but I went up to Merrimere. So we drove up to Merrimere the other day, or the other week, be pardoned for the drag racing. More on that very shortly. And the amount of roadworks we had on the way up there. But I'm actually not as peeved as I usually am, simply because everyone's throwing the money away, however you do it. So keep doing that, because it does get a bit annoying when you're going through the roadworks and you're sitting there. Because we were literally moving from one light, and then you get through that light, and then in about 100 metres down the road, there's another light. So it's just obviously trying to resurface the road, which is one thing that I literally campaign on, because I get annoyed when they just fill a hole. I always say scrape and resurface. Might cost more, but it actually saves more in the long run. So we went up to Merrimere there. It was very good. The car ran a 780, two 780s, and then we had a bit of a whoopsie because that was my fault. I backed the car up and I hit the water on accident. So we ended up winning the Wild Bunch Last Man Standing field. So that was good. And Wildest Ride for the... So basically the slick got a bit wet and the car just went left on the track. Fortunately, Mike led off straight away, and then so that was that. But it was pretty cool winning the Wild Bunch field. I'm not here next month. I'm off to Australia because I'm going to go watch some drag racing in Queensland over there. So I won't see you next month. I fly out on the 4th or something like that of June. But I will see you in July. This is a good song, I think, isn't it? Should this be on the top 10? I'm not too sure. Alright, I'm out of here. Have a very good month. Have a very good next month in June. Have a good month. What's today? May? June? I'll see you in July. It's just gone 13 minutes to 9. Have a good day. Have a good month.